For those of you who have been with us for the last few weeks, we are going through the Gospel of Matthew. It's a systematic looking at all the verses to look at the work of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So last week you have heard Michael Jensen preaching about Jesus calling his disciple to himself and how immediately they were leaving things behind. Well, I want to take you even further. Jesus himself also, he gave us the example. He is the person who leaves behind places. He left Nazareth. He left Nazareth and he went to Galilee to commence his ministry. Many of us, we find it so difficult to leave the places of familiarity. We are just so bound to the past, isn't it? So even when God is pressing upon us things in our present time, unusual things, even we are used into sitting in the same place. Look across today, I saw my sister Nyarot. She thankfully she didn't find a place here, but she moved across. So she's just like moving, you see. And maybe all of us, we start to move around as a symbol of the fact that we are ready to be moved by God. How about that? So we are to be flexible. If we are not doing that, and then we are running the risk of missing out from what the Lord is wanting us to do. Of course, you see, I struggle why I left what I was doing for 25 years, you see, to show you, because I want to tell you that all of us, we are in that category, isn't it? You see, we don't want to leave the comfort zone, you see, and especially if the comfort zone is spiritually, even spiritually, if it's the greatest. But God can take you to a wilderness, into a dry place, isn't it? To bear witness yourself. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you and the truth lives in you as a Christian, as a believer. You have all the power from God. You have all the blessing from God and the anointing. You see, Jesus left. And also his disciples, they left. Multi-million businesses, we can say that. They were fishermen, isn't it? To be nothing. They were promised to be fisher of men. And yet it was not starting. It was going to start even later after the departure of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they had glimpses because they went around preaching. Yeah, so we have heard that. And now, Jesus having raised four disciples. You want to check something? Yeah, it's so good. Okay. Yeah, Jesus having raised his four disciples. And now he is just commencing his to follow up. To start really his ministry and to minister. And we are going to look at three verses from Matthew chapter 4. But I want to take you back. You know, Jesus now in the region of Galilee. You know, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 9, it said this: "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in the distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali." Just take note of the word past, in the past. When Jesus comes, your presence will never be like your past. So these people, they were in distress. They were living among other nations. They were sinners. They were sinning against God. They were just really being humiliated. They were not living according to God. And Christ is saying, because the promise to these people is the future when Christ comes. So their past will not be like their present, and their future certainly. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee, he will honor. So this is the work of grace. The Lord God will just come. And this is how it is fulfilled in chapter 4. This is the light that these people will see. Because these people, it says, they will see. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And so now Jesus Christ in these regions of Naphtali and Zebulun, they have seen a great light, Jesus Christ himself. Now, verse 23 to verse 25, this is the subject of our talk today. Jesus went throughout Galilee, the light of the world. He is coming here. And so sometimes we do have just like an idea that just Jesus being there, being the light, so that's it. So the light is in their midst. But actually, the light of his word, the word of God that he's going to preach, he's going to proclaim, and the power of God that he's going to demonstrate. And that is what Jesus is going to do now here. Jesus went through Galilee, throughout Galilee. Now the first point is that why Jesus is doing this. He came to save the lost, isn't it? So the first thing he's concerned about there is spiritual needs. You see, that is the priority. Jesus came in the first place to save you and I. That is what he came to do. And that is why he was so committed as a faithful servant of God to spread the good news for salvation, the news that will bring you salvation. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near at hand. And now those people who will hear his ministry will really encounter a new life. Like many of us who have come to know Jesus Christ, that is what he was doing. And that is what he has been doing for the 2,000 years, the risen Savior. Wherever he goes, whoever he touches, he transformed and he changed them. And he gave them a song and he gave them the Holy Spirit and gave them a future and gave them a hope and gave them power. And he called them to work with him by his grace. That is why people go to mission, people serve the Lord. And on Wednesday, as we were at this Thanksgiving service, I was so privileged to take the service at the committal site. I committed her to the ground, Jill Martin. And her background, her father, we didn't know that her father was a godly man who taught them the ways of the Lord with her sister. And he told them to do only nursing and to marry gospel workers. The elder sister said she didn't follow that. But Jill went through that, and she trained. She went to London training, doing that. And she got great love for children. And one thing that she was said, so during her time in Africa, when she saw a young boy who was being distorted by the light, and so he would just be really crushed when the light falls on her eyes. And then when Jill Martin noticed that, she took off her sunglasses and gave them to the young boy. And that was what Christ did for her, influenced her so much to want to bear witness and to bring this light to others and to be saved. Well, Jesus Christ committing himself to the ministry that will deliver these people from the dominion of sin and dominion of Satan. This is how he goes about doing this. One, he had concern for their spiritual needs. But their spiritual needs, he is going to meet them through his ministry. And this is what he went doing. First things, he went on teaching in their synagogues. So he visited them in the synagogue. The synagogue, they were the spiritual places, centers for the whole community. This is where decisions are made. This is where the word of God is proclaimed. And Jesus went into that place, actually. And you know, the four gospels, they don't say the same thing all the time. You know, in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus went to the synagogue, and the scroll was delivered to him, as it was the custom of giving a chance to the visiting teachers in the synagogue. And Jesus was delivered a scroll and recorded to us in Luke chapter 4, but actually is a quotation from Isaiah 61, isn't it? Isaiah 61. And he's saying, like, look, all that you have been waiting for is me, isn't it? He said, the Holy Spirit is upon me because he anointed me, and that will be what we will talk about next Sunday. The Holy Spirit is upon me because he has called me really to deliver and to preach the good news to the poor in the spirit. That is what Jesus told them. And now Jesus is going to deliver this very message. So the message he's going to share with the people there is going to tell them, like, now I am showing you the way. So he went to the synagogues, the places where they train people to live for God, you see, and Jesus went and taught the good news about the kingdom. So here we are not told what is the subject, but the subject of his talks all the time is about the kingdom of God, how to enter into the kingdom of God, and how to live in the kingdom of God, and how to advance the kingdom of God. And he gave us even the model here to follow, the teaching of the word of God. The teaching of the word of God, because the salvation is through the word of God, is what God says that can save us. And if you have been saved through any other things, you have not been saved. But the word of God, which declare that God so loved the world, isn't it? and he sent his son. Whoever believes in him shall never perish. And so you and I, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we will never perish. We will have eternal life. And that eternal life begins even here, isn't it? But other people may not read it that, oh, I have eternal life. But through our action, Jesus said, from our fruits, you see, who we worship, where we go, you see? And how we pray, how we love the Lord. So here, Jesus Christ went about preaching in their synagogue and preaching to them and in the synagogues. And who is their synagogues? Whose synagogues? He was referring to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious establishment of the time. And so if they were misrepresentation of the truth of God and how to be saved, here now Jesus is going to challenge this. That is why he went into these places and to interact with these people. And there will be a lot of debates between them and Jesus. But Jesus deliberately, he didn't hide. He went there. He got the power to challenge the false and to preach the truth that is from God. And to share it. And teaching, you know teaching? So I was trained as a teacher. We have few teachers. So we were trained how to teach other people. And so there is a content always, and there are examinations, you see. So when we are taught a body of knowledge, so the expectation is for us that this knowledge will help us to live as the teacher requires. So Jesus is teaching us the principle of the kingdom. So he wants us to live really in such a way that we will not embrace any false. So we will be true to God, and we will live up to the love of God. And so that is out of the love and the anointed Savior. That's why I said the mighty Savior. Even in his teaching, he will teach with authority. You see? He will teach with authority. And John the Baptist told us that the one that will come after me, he's more powerful than I. Even I'm unable even to stoop down before him from his greatness to untie his shoes. And now he is demonstrating this. And so he just goes about advancing the kingdom that he brought in now through teaching these people in their synagogue. And now preaching the good news. So teaching is like you look into the details. You see, I'll give you one example. So, and people say like all my example comes from when I was in Egypt. Maybe that was when, I will refer to that later on, because having lived through revival, it's not like not living through revival, isn't it? And so a Muslim guy who was a single man, he asked me about the state of those people who are not married in heaven. You see, and I was just sitting. This man graciously asked me this. And I said to him, well, look, Jesus Christ taught us that in heaven there will be no marriage. You see, people will not give their children or take children in marriage. So I shared that with him. That is a body of teaching, isn't it? You see? If your brother sins against you, go to him and talk to him. You see? So that is the border of teaching, isn't it? That is what Jesus teaches us. So we don't take our brother to court. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So you need to be humble. Follow me, Jesus taught. And we will have the opportunity to go through his teaching. But here, this is a summary of his ministry or introduction and a summary. That exactly, chapter 9, really quoted verse for verse, 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. You see? That is what he's doing here. Jesus Christ, the anointed one, going around teaching in their synagogues and preaching Harold. In those days, the emperor will send a messenger to go and announce a news, something that people have to take really care of, people to respond to. So this person will just go and preach that and declare that in the city. You see, and many people will just come out and will listen to that. And so that is what Jesus was doing here. As he said, the kingdom of God is near. So this is what he is preaching. Repent, come out, return from your sins. He is declaring this, and this declaration comes with authority and power. To the point that people were listening to him, were drawn to him. He is not like any other preacher around, because the Holy Spirit is upon him. The power of God is upon him. And that is what will happen in verse 25. Light cried from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Will come out. When God is at work, he draws people to himself. And that is why Jesus had to come for himself and demonstrate the power of heavens and the love of God to reveal it to people. Like, this is what Jesus is doing. He's telling people that God loves you. Now, the light has dawned. Come out. And people were coming, being drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit, by God himself, assuring people that God is here. He is at work. And this is what he will do. Always, even now, if you would turn to Jesus Christ in faith and even and confess your sin and know his love for you, that he wouldn't want you to be humiliated by sin. He wouldn't want you to have low self-esteem. He wouldn't want you to be crushed like having seven jobs so that you live a certain way of life that this world is living. Or to have a poor self-acceptance. So thinking like, if I have I wear certain clothes or I live in certain house or drive certain car, that trying to improve your image, it won't help. But if you know your dignity in Christ, how much he loves you, that he was willing to touch every place. That is why he went throughout. He wanted to touch. And this area, they said, has over 200 villages. And Jesus committed himself to preaching in all these villages. And Indra, as I mentioned earlier, when the power of God is at work, that is how things will look like. The preachers will go out and they will teach the principle, not of their own, the principle of the kingdom, the word of God. They will move in the power of God and they will proclaim the truth and people will listen and will be saved. Now today there is a drought of salvation, so you will make really convert one person a year and we celebrate. So when there is revival, like Jesus' times, that Jesus being in Galilee, that was a revival, isn't it? Revival, the Lord God himself, here in flesh, preaching the truth, the anointed one. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to do this. And when there is this anointing, the truth of God will be preached and you will have faith and you will be saved. The reason today you can come to this nice church, very beautiful, isn't it? The people of this congregation, they really sacrifice to make it so beautiful and comfortable. You don't have even one pastor. You have two pastors. You have wonderful elders who can preach. But if you don't have faith, you have two pastors. If you don't have faith that what has been brought to you is from God and Jesus Christ is the one who is speaking to you, you can just, this will be nothing. Because what concerns, Jesus didn't rest. He went about showing people his love. And that is what he was proclaiming, teaching, preaching the goodness of the kingdom. And healing. You see, that is a challenge, isn't it? Because what he has done here, this model is going to pass it on to his disciples. They will go about, they teach, they preach, and they heal the sick. Not only the disciples, but even those who will believe through their preaching. Even today, even as we are in this house, is the house of God. And the Holy Spirit is here, Jesus Christ, in the midst of us here. He's in our midst. He says, if two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And all that you need here, you have faith, like that woman who came and said to herself, if I only touch the garments of his clothes, I would be healed. So Jesus has the power to heal. He is the great physician. You see, we have healing is very important, isn't it? That is why we have hospitals that are set up to heal people. You see, God in his wisdom, he allowed this. People are here today in this world because God used medical expertise to heal us, to help us heal and to finish the journey God has placed us on. These great hospitals. But even these great hospitals, there are a lot of diseases that they cannot even cure. So here, the best hospital, we can call it mobile hospital, is here with Jesus. And that is why people were just rushing to him. Because the perfection is all here. The greatest teachers of all teachers, teacher of the all teachers, the great herald of the good news, because are his good news anyway. He is not teaching a subject that being handed to him. He says, all authority to teach has been given to me. And all the prophets of the past, they were saying, you have heard the Lord says this, but I say, he has the authority to write his own curriculum. That is fitting the kingdom of his Father in heaven. And if you live by the word of Christ, if you live by his word, you are his friend, and you will have all his grace, his power, even power to heal other people. That is why he said he was the greatest physician ever lived. He healed some sicknesses? No, they said every sickness. Every. You can name them. All. Every disease, Jesus has the power to heal it. And we do have glimpses even in the Old Testament. You know, one of my favorite texts in the Old Testament, the Naaman of Assyrian. You see, 2 Kings chapter 5. This great man, he was a great man in the army. But he was leprous. He was a leper. You see, he had a disease. And only the slave girl that they took from Israel, she was working in his house and said, if my master would go to the land of Israel, the great prophet there, Elijah. And then he came and he was told, just go and watch. And he was trying to be proud, you see. And then his boy said to him, look, this is a simple thing. How about if he asks you to do something greater than that? And then he went back. And then he went into the seas. And then he was healed. And the Bible says his flesh became like of a baby, you see, because that is what happened. So Jesus Christ heals every disease and sickness among the people. He heals every disease. And now today, in our days, in terms of application, you can come across a teaching that does not hold to this reality. That the people who say that the times of healing is finished, and they are called cessationists. The miracles, no, this is not a time of miracles. Well, the question is like, is Jesus the same? Is Jesus the same or not? Definitely the times of miracle is not finished. Jesus heals. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he healed every sickness. He can heal that. All that is required faith from your side. Well, you may say like, well, how about I do have faith and why he is not healing this disease? But I always say in what I believe with all of my heart, we are to be his people. He is God. He has the right to make his own decision. You see, he can decide to heal or not to heal, but our decision should be only to believe that he can heal. Whether he heals us or not, that is up to him. But we can never dwell in a place where we can never believe that our God can heal us. And if you have been taught something different from this, well, today I think I'm subjecting myself to excommunication. Well, I'm ready. I'm prepared to follow that. Well, Jesus heals every sickness and every disease among the people. And the people here, he was referring to the people of Israel because he was sent first and foremost to the lost sheep of Israel. But here his fame will go out, as we will see shortly, that Jesus Christ, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, teaching in the synagogues of the people of Israel and healing there, preaching the good news that the time has come. God has visited the whole world, the world, and that he has the power to heal. Now news about him is spread all over Syria. Because now Jesus Christ, the way he moved about, because that is what happens in revival. In revival, people will come, you see, will run into places of worship where the God is work at work. People will rush. That is why what happens in revival, people will just move, will move around, go into the places where the Holy Spirit is working, where the truth is being declared. Repent from your sin. Turn away from your wicked ways. God loves you. He wants to change your life. Come. Jesus Christ is here. So that is what happened. So because Jesus, now preaching, moving in power, news about him is spread all over Syria. And people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Those not just only diseases, but also, you know, demons possess people. And even those suffering severe pain, those who are being tormented, those people, Jesus Christ healed them. And you can see his power really permeates every part of human being. All sorts of pains and struggles and distortions. Jesus has the power to heal. Even today in our day, even as you sit here, you can reach out to Christ. Whatever you name it, you know what you struggle from. You can pray and Jesus can heal you. And so now Jesus really didn't have only the concern for their spiritual state, but also he has really concern for our well-being, physical well-being. He wants us to be well. He wants us to be strong so that we can serve him. So that is why we pray for his strength. And we do receive it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now Jesus Christ healing all the sicknesses, seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them paralyzed. You know, Acts chapter 2, a man was lowered from the top of the roof because they couldn't find a place to bring Jesus in. Was landed before him. He was paralyzed. He healed him. The man, John 5, at the pool, Siloam. 38 years, man, really just bedridden. Jesus healed him. He has the power to heal. So that is what we are told here. Matthew is telling us that this is what you are going to encounter. This is what you are going to encounter. Jesus Christ heal all the diseases. He has the power because he has been anointed. And now we are told that the large crowd from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and through regions across the Jordan followed him. And now, following Jesus, these people coming, being drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that was my wrong. So these people, they came, and as they came, they saw the power of Christ. They received his word. Many of them believe. To follow is to believe and follow and walk with Jesus. So that is that. This message requires, that is the response that is demanded from us. As we see this power at display, all that you need is to respond to this message. As these people responded to the fame of Christ, the way with which he taught and proclaimed the good news, and the power that he released to heal people. So can we crave for anything else? I believe the two important things in our lives as human beings is our souls and our physical bodies, isn't it? That is why when we are driving, we don't just like a speed like 200. We are so careful, isn't it? We are careful not to tamper with chemicals. Can you drink a chemical? I studied physics. We used to have masks. He has concerns. So as you respond to Jesus, that is what you will encounter. For your soul to be saved, and also your body will be protected, your life actually. Even as the life is in our soul and in spirit, well, the heart is in the body, and all the organs that really support this life. And it's important that Christ, he really cares about these things. And so today, what I can challenge you with is, has the power of Christ has been displayed? Have you believed that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he was prepared, even like the previous verses, chapters from 1 to 4, revealing his character, who he is? My beloved son, to him listen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit to commence his public ministry, the ministry that touched us to this day. Have you recognized that Jesus Christ has the power to forgive your sins? That was what he said to this man who was paralyzed. He said, your sins are forgiven. And you know, the Pharisees, they were debating among themselves. They were saying, why is he speaking like that? And then he knows, for he is the all-knowing God. And he said, which one is easier? To say to the paralyzed, get up and be healed and go. Or to say, your sins are forgiven. And he said to them, so that you know the Son of Man has authority here on earth to forgive sins. So Jesus Christ has the power to forgive your sin that can take you to hell. And if you repent of your sins, you have eternal life. Because he has fulfilled all righteousness. The sinless Son of God, he lived a sinless life. That is why all the power belongs to him. All the authority, all the anointing of God is upon him. To do anything, to teach, and you will be taught. Isn't it? You've got high distinction. We go to universities and we are taught, and sometimes we just struggle to get even a pass. Isn't it? See, Jesus wants us to teach, wants us to believe that. He got all the power. And as you believe in him, you will be saved. He fulfilled all righteousness. He's the Son of God. He left the splendor of heavens because he was in the heavens. The Word was in heaven. The Word was with God. And the Word was flesh. From the very beginning was Word. And the Word became flesh and dwell among us. And we have seen his glory. And so this is Jesus today. And this is the ministry that he will do. And we will be given subjects, contents. But here is a summary and an introduction to what he was going to do. The first thing, because he has the power, even as we turn to him, we will be saved. And also there is no problem that he can never solve. You see him healing every disease. And also we see his love accepting those who come to him. Even not only the Jews, even the Gentiles from across Jordan, modern Syria, which say that he is the Lord of the whole universe. And his disciples will start that from Jerusalem to the entire world. They will reach the Gentiles. Apostle Paul himself, he will be going to the Gentiles and others. They will preach the word of God, the word of Christ, the kingdom of God to the whole nations. And now, the task, the challenge for us is, are we doing like Jesus did? Are we moving the ways that he was moving? Are we going and everywhere? Of course, Australia needs missionaries, isn't it? Like other nations, are we willing to go to a people that we might not have interest in them? Just for the sake of Christ, are we willing to go? Are we prepared to go to Saudi Arabia and to share the good news with them? Oh, maybe they are very different. Are we willing to do that? Jesus went everywhere. And the reason is because he was sharing the love of God, the Father, who loved the whole world. And so we, as his followers, we should follow in his footsteps. The world needs people who believe in Christ, who will move like him to go wherever he sends. Or we sing that song, who is on the Lord's side, where he sends us, we go. But we don't go. Go and we don't go, he will say. Are we willing to do that? Are we living through the revival? Or do we have enough power that will draw people to us? Are our churches are set up in such a way that people will come and will hear the good news and will be loved and be saved and be delivered from their bondages? Are we hospitable? Are we kind enough like our Savior Jesus himself? When people come to us and we lay our hands on them, shall they be healed? Our ministry should attract crowd. And if that is not the case, we need to pray for revival, that we move in the Spirit so that others are drawn to us. You see, Jonah, he was anointed with God, is by God, isn't it? Then he went and he preached and people repented. So he was a man like us. We can do the same if we are following Christ. May the Lord speak to your heart and give you faith that your Savior is mighty and you shall not doubt him at every step, with every disease and every sickness, even the demon possessions. Today people deny the fact that there are no demons, isn't it? Demons are just multiplying around us.
Everywhere.
But if we cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ, command them, they shall flee. Even as we are here today, if there are those who are struggling, maybe with this spirit, well, in the name of Jesus Christ, they shall flee from you. And that you know the presence, power of the Holy Spirit. That dispels darkness. That was what Jesus did. The light, he came. And he expelled darkness through his preaching and his teaching. And even his pronouncements of healing. That was what he was doing. You see? So he was not touching everybody. But those who were sick, and then he just healed them. He prayed for healing. Be healed from every sickness. And the demon possessed, he just cast them out. Say, be gone. Even as multitudes who were there, the demons just fled from him. It's the power of God that moves, you see? That gives us faith and gives us trust and the joy of the Lord in us. And that is why there is a need for faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, to release his power and his healing and his mercy. And even the joy of the Lord. Even the understanding of his word. As I said earlier, we can have the best church ever. We can have the best preachers ever. But if this is not mixed with faith, that these are the words of Christ. Because he is not delighting in people suffering, isn't it? Those suffering, severe pains, he heals them. He's the one who loves us so much. And he wants us to be free even from wrong thoughts. He wants to take the wrong thoughts, you see, about people, about God from our minds. He wants us to be simple as much as possible, just to believe only the truth. How are you responding? Are you coming to the Lord and be taught by him? Are you responding to the proclamation he makes? As the Savior of the whole world, as we will see, come next Sunday if you are here, if you can. And he will just delve into the teaching. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. You see, he will just sit quietly and impart this truth that will help his every person who hears him to enter into the kingdom of God and to remain in the kingdom of God and be productive and be fruitful to the glory of God. And that is what Christ demands from us. As we are walking this fine path, being only taught the truth, hearing only what the Savior says, and having his power that enables us to live this life, and then we are his own people. Let us pray.